That was a good word. My brother Jim Sack, and it applies to me this morning. Read the wrong scripture. I hope I have the right sermon. In case you're wondering about that worship song, Big Daddy Weave, he's not. You might get a picture in your head of Isaac Watts or of John Owen with those big wigs and the powdery outfits that they would wear, but different big weave, Big Daddy Weave. And that was supposed to be a joke. So, let's get to the sermon. We're in John chapter 1, see if you can keep that open. Ancient Greek philosophers such as Plato wrote of the term light as a source of life. In the writings of Homer, he described living as to see the light of the sun. Now, that's a phrase that we would use today. Similar, we would say something like, "We who are alive are still on the green side of the grass." Amen. Plato used the phrase to come into the light as a phrase meaning to bring something to life. This is a familiar idea here. It's like when you take a plant that's wilting because you see that it's in a shadow and you move it, maybe on a windowsill, into the light, and then it comes alive again because it needed that light. Moving it from a shadow and darkness into light so that it can revive. Augustine wrote that his mind, in his Confessions, he wrote that his mind had to be enlightened in order to participate in the truth. Well, in our passage this morning, we have this analogy of light given to us. And it's something that we'll see throughout the Gospel of John, representing life and goodness. What begins our passage today, verse 6, is a reference to John, however. John, referring to John the Baptist, it says, John was sent from God. John the Baptist was someone that he walked around in a coat that was made out of camel's hair. And he had a belt around that. And he would eat locusts and wild honey. Some people, when they show up at the party, everyone knows they're there. John the Baptist was such a one. He grabbed attention. People knew there was something unique about this man. John the Baptist, it says, was a man sent from God, verse 6. Verse 7, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. Verse 8, John, he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, as Pastor Chaya told us in the children's sermon. He told the world who Jesus is and why he came. God sent him to grab attention so that he could point to Jesus. And we see later in this chapter that's exactly what he did. It says in another part of the gospel, Jesus talking about him in John 5:35, Jesus says that John was a light. He refers to him as a light that the people enjoyed for a while. But in the gospel here, he refers to Jesus as the light, a unique one. And he calls him the true light. So we'll see what that means. With John, he was a light. But with Jesus, he's called something different. Verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus referred to himself and he said this. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, this analogy of light is what John is using to get people's attention to say there is life. Now, very often you might listen to someone and you say, "I was enlightened." Or you'll learn something and you'll say, "Yeah, there's something right about that." And we talk about that as shedding light on something. So we have this analogy that we still use. John is focusing on a person when he talks about the true light. And it says, verse 9, "The true light," this person, "that gives light to every man, was coming into the world." That's verse 9. And now another phrase that we have, "the world." What does he mean by the world? Does he mean the planet that we're on? Well, no, he means specifically the people within this world. The world here, as it's used, is the corrupted realm of humanity. People who are made in God's image. Every person in the whole world, we who are supposed to be reflecting God's beautiful glory, but are rather in a state of rebellion against God. We are in a world, as we'll see in this analogy, a world of darkness. And so Jesus came as a light into this world of darkness, because all people are in rebellion against God, but not even knowing that we are in rebellion. So Jesus, being called the true light that gives life, is a way of saying that he is the only source of life, the only way out of this darkness. And so with the Gospel of John, we have this big theme of either one reality or another reality. The one reality is light, and the other reality is darkness. All begin in this place of darkness. Many want to and do remain in darkness, but the light breaks into the darkness and calls us out of the darkness. And in this gospel, the writer, John, specifically tells us why he wrote this book. You have to love it. He's very direct. He says this in the chapter 20, verse 31. "These things that are written in this book, these things that I'm giving to you, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name." So this analogy of light and darkness, this analogy of life and death, is what begins this gospel. And this is the second part where we're preaching what is called the prologue of the Gospel of John, where the themes that are throughout the whole book are really condensedly packed into these early words. So you'll see with the words that we're looking at right now will come out through the rest of the book in many ways. Let's go back to verse 5, which you heard about last week. In John 1:5, it says this: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, to understand what John is saying about Jesus coming into the world, that he comes into the world as a light, you have to understand the response of the darkness. And you see that in verse 5. The response of the darkness is to overcome it, to grab it, to seize it, to take hold of something. This word is pretty vivid. It's to arrest something. And through the rest of this book, we will see how the world of mankind opposes Jesus, and it did oppose him in his earthly ministry. Imagine if you had a gang of thugs, okay, just a gang in any city, in any town, and that this gang has a house, and that only members of the gang are supposed to be in the house. But if someone shows up in the house who does not belong to the gang, and who in fact opposes the gang, and the gang gets word and realizes this guy that doesn't belong to our gang is in the house, how will the gang respond? Their response will be, get him. They'll say, seize him, capture him, let's catch him. That's what the word means here in verse 5. To overcome it. That light has come into the world, but the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It has not seized Jesus. This is telling us what happens and what has happened since Jesus has come into the world. One time, a crowd literally tried to seize Jesus and throw him over a cliff to kill him. But it didn't work. They didn't get away with it. He walked away. The most intelligent of the time tried to outsmart Jesus by tricking him in debate and to sort of seize him politically by putting him in checkmate with their debates and questions about the law and about the Sabbath. But that didn't work either. The darkness tried to seize him in that way. And when the darkness of this world actually got him to the point where they thought they had victory over him and had seized him, when he was arrested and beaten and executed on a cross, and then his body was laid in a tomb and a stone was rolled in front of it, the light of the world, the true light, who was buried in that tomb, couldn't be overcome. It couldn't be held down by darkness. What happened was, when that happened, even that darkness could not hold him. And Jesus came alive again. You see, the light can't be suppressed by darkness. What's the point? The point is this. Light always wins against darkness. Light always wins against darkness. If you take a flashlight into any deep in the earth, it doesn't matter how many miles of darkness fills those caves. Turn on a flashlight, and the light will dispel the darkness. The light will shine. In the same way, the grave could not hold the true light of the world. Darkness could not overcome him. And the message of who he is, and the power of him permeating this world of darkness, is still in effect, and the darkness will continue to try, but it cannot overcome the light. Light always wins against darkness. In fact, ever since the true light came into the world, darkness has been trying to overcome it. It's a thing that continues, but it is all in vain. The way it happens today is this. You might bring up Jesus if you're a Christian. You might be at a family reunion or at work. Maybe it will come up and someone will say, hey, what did you do this weekend? Well, I went to a sermon and I heard my pastor read the wrong passage of Scripture. And and then we had a sermon about Jesus being the true light. And what will happen is, when Jesus comes up, those who love darkness will, at any time in the discussion, either oppose it or simply dismiss it. And there are many ways. I don't have to even illustrate this. You can tell me the many ways that the people you know will just steer the conversation gently away from Jesus. Or just say, I don't want to talk about that. And just oppose it. Now, this world is the world of human affairs, the reality of mankind, which is in a state of rebellion against God. And it says in verse 10, verse 11, that Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. This is hard, and it's a hard reality. The people who did not receive him, he's referring to Israel, the chosen people of God, the Jews. And the point is not to say Jews are bad. The point is to say something actually very different, because God sent his law to these people. Out of all the people in the world, he chose this small people, Israel, and he sent his law to them. He sent his prophets He gave his covenants to these people. And so you would think when the light, the true light of the world comes, who was talked about with all these prophets, that what would happen is that these people who had been prepared with all these things would say, oh, he's here now, let's receive him. But it says, even these people who had these incredible blessings from God said, we don't want this light. They did not receive him. Even this happily chosen people, Israel, did not receive him. Nothing specifically here that is bad about the Jews. It's representing all of us. And the point is that if even Israel rejected him, then all mankind likewise is in a state of darkness. So you get this picture here where John is saying light has come into the world. It's the person. You get the picture of Jesus, okay, knocking on a door saying, and all humanity is on the inside of this door in darkness. Inside our door, darkness. Outside, light. Okay? And the light is coming in to darkness. And this language of receiving or rejecting is here. So the response here is, Jesus knocks on the door. I'm the light of the world, let me in. And the response is this. The door might open a little bit, very cautiously. But our response in darkness is this. Ah, it's too bright. I don't know who that is. Shut that door. Get it away. The world did not know him. His own, even his own, did not receive him. This is hard news. That God in all of his graciousness is welcoming us to light and to have life. And humanity's first response is this. Get it away. We prefer the darkness. But there is good news here. Not everybody rejects him. Not everybody remains in darkness and in a state of rejecting him. Verses 12 and 13, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to come into this light, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. So the light shines on all, and it forces a distinction. Again, either light or darkness. And the question is, where will you remain? Some people run from the light. In the next chapter, well, in two chapters, it says why. In chapter 3, we read this in John. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people loved darkness. 3:19. People loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. It's this picture of, I don't want to be exposed. I like the way I'm living. I don't want anyone to mess this up. I want to hold on to the things that I have. I don't want to be seen for what I know I am. I'm going to keep this door shut. There's this distinction. Some run from the light. They don't want their deeds to be exposed. And so the love of darkness, the love of what is familiar, holds them back. It keeps them. But, as it says in our verses, some receive the light. And it's hard. It's hard at first. Because it's shocking to see how much darkness there is even within. And how much wickedness there is that the light exposes. But when we come into the light, we begin to see as things really are. And the reason that the true light of the world came, it says, is to give life. You see, it's to get rid and to have a whole new experience. It's to come into a relationship with God where it says that everyone who receives him, he makes us become children of God. It's a whole different reality. that we are invited to open this door and to know Him and to receive Him and to say, yeah, come in. Clean this all out. Whole new reality. These verses 12 and 13 are really good news. Jesus, God, who was God from forever, from eternity, He came into this world and He became like us so that you wouldn't have to be left in darkness. You do not have to remain in this rebellion against God. As terrifying as it seems to open that door and to know this light, God is a welcoming, loving God who, while He will judge and put away that sin, He does it in Himself on the cross, and He welcomes you into a whole new reality. I know that most of us here this morning are Christians, and we know this reality. We know it. But I think there are probably some here who do not yet know it. And I want to tell you that you can receive Him and become a child of God. It's very simple. It's not something that happens from your strength. It's something that God has offered. And He came into the world for this purpose, so that you could receive Him. So my question to you is this. Do you know how to receive Him? It's really simple. He says, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, this is what it means to receive Him, to open up that door in my analogy. You just believe Him. You just trust what He has said. You don't shut the door on Jesus. If you don't know who He is, let me tell you very shortly. He came into this world. He lived a life of obedience. And then He died in order to take your place. And He died, was buried, and He came alive again after 3 days as a light that couldn't be concealed and overcome by darkness. And after a short time, He ascended into heaven, and He said that He'll come back and He will judge everyone. But right now, He's reigning from heaven, and He is welcoming us, and we are spreading this light, this gospel message everywhere, so that anyone can come to know Him and turn away from the darkness of rebellion against God and just know Him. There it is. There's the basics. Now, you can read this gospel and get to know Him much more. So I would say, don't shut the door on Him. If you don't know who it is in whom you would believe, read more about Him and learn more about Him. But that's all you need to know, what I just told you. He will give you life. He will make you alive in Him and bring you into the light. Trust in who He is and what He has done. And come away from the darkness. It's very simple. How do you receive Him? You just believe in Him. You trust in Him. And you will be a child of God. In the end, there are only two realities. There's light and there's darkness. There's life and there's death. There's not a spectrum of where people fall in between. You belong in one domain or the other. And again, this Gospel of John knew Jesus personally. He was one of His disciples. And he doesn't refer to himself by name in this Gospel. He refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. And he says, again, at the end of his book, he just is so direct. I mean, imagine going to a coworker and saying, I want to talk to you because I want you to believe in Jesus so that you can have life. I mean, the response, you'll see the response. If someone is in darkness, it might be uncomfortable and it might get pushed away. But look at how John, again, look at how he tells us. I'm writing these things to you. I wrote this book for you so that you can believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. He's just so direct with us. Now, most of you here this morning do believe in Him. And I want to apply this to us as well. You have received Him. You are a child of God. You know exactly what I'm talking about. In your heart, you cry out to Him in prayer because you know that God is your Father. That's wonderful. I want to ask you to look back at verse 5 again. Look at verse 5. It's an interesting thing. It says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And it's a funny sort of sentence, because usually when you write a sentence in English, the tenses match. So you might have the present tense verbs. So if these were both present tense words, it would say, you would think it would say, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. Okay, both present tense. But it says, the light has not overcome it. So it's a little bit strange, and we read it, and it's like, okay, what is he saying here? And it's a tense, the second word for has not overcome, in the Greek, that means that something has happened, past tense, but it has continuing effect. We don't have that tense in English. It's called the aorist. It has continuing effect. So let me explain this. It's like saying the darkness did not overcome the light, and it still does not overcome it. He's saying this. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness didn't overcome it, and it won't. It never did, and it never will. Why am I saying this to you, who were believers? Why would I point out this funny-sounding sentence to you? And why would I talk about grammar? Because everyone stops listening when you talk about grammar. But listen again. It's really good. Because Jesus, the true light, still shines. He shines through His Word. He shines through our testimony. He shines through when we tell people about Him. He, who He is, what He has done, this is still the light that shines in this dark world. And the darkness still does not overcome it. The rule that I told you still holds. Light always wins against darkness. Light always wins against darkness. The darkness still does not overcome it. It never did and it never will. The only true light is Jesus. He is the only hope for anyone in this world. So think of it this way. There is hope for those that you know who are dwelling in darkness. And it's only Him. To all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, God causes them to become children of God. So I want you to think about this and apply it. Think about it in your life. You have neighbors. You have people that you love in your family that you know who are in darkness. Or co-workers. You know people who are in darkness. Will their darkness prevail? Well, you have something that's much more powerful than that darkness in which they dwell. You have the light, the true light. And this is what I want you to remember, brothers and sisters. Light always wins against darkness. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It never did. It never will. It's like when Jesus is talking about the church, he says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You think about that? The gates of hell, when you have gates, it's like you shut them because there's something attacking you. We are in an offensive position as Christians. We are in a position where we can bring light and shine it for people. And God said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Darkness cannot overcome the light. It has not. It will not. All the people in your world, in your relationships, all that they need to know is Jesus. What we have to do is to shine the light of who He is, the good news about Jesus, what we call the gospel. The good news for everyone. People will shut the door. You can expect it. People will still shout, go away. I don't want to hear that. Or they'll invite you into this subtle dismissing of Him. But others will receive Him. Others will eventually, maybe after a long time, will come around and say, you know, I've heard this my whole life. But it's starting to change the way I'm thinking. I have some questions. Can we talk about this more? And you'll say, yeah. Let me introduce you to my friend, Dr. Eck. He can tell you all about it. Dr. Eck has a heart for evangelism, and that's why I say that. But here's our application, friends. We must shine the light of this good news about who Jesus is to everyone. And many who have been shutting the door on the true light for years, for decades, while they have breath, might still believe and come into the light and receive Him and become children of God with us. As long as we have breath, this is what we get to do. We get to shine this light. Your job is like John the Baptist. Your job is, later in this chapter, John the Baptist has his disciples, and John says amazing things about Jesus. And the first thing he says, look at him. He says, behold, right there, that guy. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you know what? That's your job too. We don't call people, thankfully, we don't have to tell people, look at my life. Hey, look at my example. Oh, thank God we don't have to do that. We get to do this. We get to say, you know what? I'm in process. But He is your hope. He is the true light. And He is welcoming you to know Him, to become a child of God. So friends, here's our application. Let's tell everyone who will listen about this true light who came into the world. Let's pray.